guess my hair's not quite black enough. Dwayne's supposed to speak tonight, and he's coming down with something. So he faxed over his material to me, and I'll do my best to try to cover the material that he is supposed to cover on his lesson. Before I get into this, though, I want to take time to mention what we'll be doing after this series of lessons on the eldership and the qualifications of elders and deacons. Our next endeavor will be a series of lessons where we reflect on some very important things. Philippians 4 and 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Well, I would say from this admonition from Paul to the church of Philippi, we can conclude that reflection is a good thing, isn't it? That's a word that I never used too much. And when I was teaching school, the principals there, like Mark, would try to get his teachers to reflect on the things that they've done so that they can help improve, make improvements on what they do. And so as I thought about this, you know, the fleshly side of us likes to reflect on things of the world. 1 John 2:15 and 17, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." So we're going to try to reflect on some things that are very important to us as Christians. They're not only important to us, they're important to the world. And so we'll start off, and each person will have a 40-minute segment, just one class period. And Larry will kick it off on February the 6th. He'll be talking about the Bible, things about the Bible, what the Bible says about itself, and any information that he wants to gather about the Bible. And then Eddie Sears will talk about God. Then Matt Hughes will talk about Jesus. Bob Cooper is going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Travis Kite about sin. Tad Morris on repentance. Ben Morris on the church. Kevin Ferguson on faith. Dwayne Stoops on prayer. Mark Overstreet on hope. Mike Rogers on love. Clayton Cooper on joy. Eric Rogers on peace. I'll give each teacher a copy of this so that you know where you stand and what your date will be. Now, it's possible those dates might change that you see on there. It depends on how things finish up with our qualifications that we have here. Now, Mike, I don't know if Dwayne said anything to you, but if you don't need two classes to cover your material, don't worry about it. We put you down for two, but if it works out to where you can get it done one, that's fine. The same thing goes for Tad on his. Okay. Now, my job tonight is to take lesson number 10, and this is elders' moral qualification. This is actually the last of the moral qualifications that we've been discussing. Must be just, holy, and self-controlled, being a good example to the flock. If you turn your Bibles to Titus, of course, we've been looking at 1 Timothy, the third chapter, and then also Titus, looking at these qualifications, and also 1 Peter, the fifth chapter. But in Titus 1, and I'll just read verse 7 and 8. It says, "For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. And I'm going to be talking about just, holy, and being self-controlled. Now, Kevin, in his class, he spoke about being example to the flock. Okay, and Dwayne has mentioned some things that I'm sure Kevin covered a lot of, but I'll go ahead and mention to you what he has down here. Would somebody read 1 Peter 5 and 3 for us?
Not lording it over to those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock.
Okay, talking about elders, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. The phrase being lord over is from and I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek words, but in the Greek dictionary, it's G2634. It means to rule over or exercise authority, with the implication of overpowering. For example, subduing or getting the mastery of another. This should never be the role of an elder. They do not have absolute authority. Who has absolute authority? God, okay, or Christ. In other words, they do not have the absolute authority to overwhelm and control a member's life. Now, this Greek word is used only two times in the New Testament. The other time, it's used in Acts 19 and 16. And when there were some Jewish exorcists that were trying to use the power of Jesus, they saw the power of Jesus being used by the apostles, and so they started saying, That by the power of Jesus, I command you, spirit, to come out of this person. And if you remember that story, the spirit spoke back and says, well, we know who Jesus is, but we don't know who you are. Okay? Well, that word is used in that place. It says, when they failed to work, the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed over their will, driving them out of the house naked. And that word overpower there, the New King James Version says overcame them, but this version uses the word overpowered, and it's the same word being lords over. Okay? So we know that an elder is not to lord over the congregation. Well, aren't we supposed to rule over the flock? What verse would you use to say that an elder is to rule over the flock? Does that verse come to your mind? Somebody read Hebrews 13 and 7. Okay, read that one, Mike, if you're there.
The elders who rule well will be counted worthy of double honor.
Okay, talks about them ruling well. Somebody read Hebrews 13 and 7.
Those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcomes of the time.
Okay, so it does say that they rule over you. Is there a difference in that word and one being lords over, where it says being lord over? Okay, is there a difference? And Dwayne makes a comment here. He says, notice they are to rule over, not run over the members. The Greek word used for an elder's rule over the members is G2233, which means to lead and command with influence and authority, while yet following the teaching of Jesus and not being like lordships of Gentile kings. If we could we have somebody turn to Luke 22, 25 and 26. Luke 22, 25 and 26.
Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves.
Okay. So, when we look at the example of Christ, we see Christ as a servant, don't we? Of course, the first thing we think of is when he gave the example, he washed the apostles' feet to show that he was a servant. I'm here to serve. Even though I am the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I'm here to serve. And that's what an elder is. He's here to serve. Paul spoke of the elders who rule well in 1 Timothy 5:17. Okay, and that wasn't that the verse you read, Mike? Okay. The Greek word for rule, G4291, means to stand before or to preside, to carry for as a leader and a guide. Of course, in Acts 20 and 28, the elder is called an overseer. Okay. So an elder's rule is different than the rule of Christ. In what way is it different? How do you think the rule of an elder is different than that of Christ?
Well, an elder is also a human, and we'll see him at times the way other humans do, and Christ is not.
Okay.
Of course, Christ is the final authority.
Very good.
And the elders are not.
Okay. That's pretty much what Dwayne has down here. An elder's rule is different than the rule of Christ. Christ has all ruled as an absolute. He's absolute. 1 Corinthians 15:24, the Greek word for his rule is G746, meaning the beginning or foremost rule with all preeminence. Because Christ is the beginning and the end. We find that in Revelations, the 22nd chapter, verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, he said. Therefore, Christ rules with all authority and truth, and for that reason we must follow him. Okay, just like Mike said, the elder's rule is based on limited, delegated authority. Who delegates that authority to the elder? Yes, the members of a local congregation choose the elder, and they delegate or give him the authority to rule over them. Okay, delegate authority to lead, guide, and be examples for the members to follow. Hebrews 13:7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. In other words, elders must be a humble servant of the congregation. Just like Christ was a humble servant to the apostles when he washed the apostles' feet and tried to demonstrate to them how much that he was a servant. All right, so we understand that the elders must be a good example. Okay? And when we when we look at the passage in 1 Timothy, the third chapter, when Ben gave us that lesson, that was something that really stuck out in my mind. Verse 2 of chapter 3 says, a bishop must be blameless. Okay? And then we've talked about that. That doesn't mean you're not going to make a mistake, but it means that a person that becomes an elder has to have some years on him. He has to have experience so that he can become blameless or one that makes very few mistakes. Let's put it that way. Okay, that he's a mastery of all these things that we've been reading about. That he's mastered this. He's sober-minded. He's able to teach. He's hospitable. He's got good behavior, and et cetera, et cetera. And we've already talked about this. So in these first two words that we're going to look at, an elder must be just and holy. Okay? Titus 1:7-8, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just and holy, and self-controlled. The word just comes from the Greek 1342, and it means righteous and upright. Righteous and upright. Equitable in character or act. For example, those who have conditioned their lives by the standard of God's truth. So in this sense, all Christians should be just, shouldn't they? Somebody read Acts 24:15.
I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust.
Okay, both of the just and the unjust. So it's pretty important to be just, isn't it? Okay. He must be upright in his dealings with all. Now, Duane says this, that all Christians must be just, but an elder must take this, excuse me, a step further. He must be upright in his dealings with all, giving everyone their due, showing mercy and love in each unique situation, following the example of the Lord. Now, when you look up this word just, there's several characters in the Bible that are mentioned that are just. If you died and at your funeral they said you are a just man, you would love that, wouldn't you? Matthew 1:19 talks about Joseph being the earthly father of Jesus. It says that he's a just man. John the Baptist, Simeon, who waited for Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea, Cornelius the centurion. They were all considered just. In what way were they just? You know, how can I be just? How can you be just? How should an elder be just? And as I looked at these different characters that he listed here, I'm going to look back and just use this as an example. But there's lots of ways that we could be just. In what way was Joseph just? Maybe you don't even remember that being stated about Joseph, but it says that. When it said that he was just, I was thinking to myself, well, I don't hardly remember that. And when I looked it up, here's what it says. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. I'm in Matthew, the second chapter, or excuse me, first chapter, starting verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Well, to me, here's an example of someone being just. Okay? What's another word you might use for just? In my Bible here, it gives the word upright. Okay, he was an upright man.
I think sometimes when we think of just, or for me personally, when I think of upright or righteous, I think of that being kind of our relationship to God. Which, I mean, truly, when I think more of what you just said, and I thought of that before you said it too, the just truly means how we treat others.
Okay.
But typically, when I think of upright, I guess I'm thinking of if we live upright before God.
All right.
I mean, it all relates.
Right.
But in a sense, righteousness before God, I'm thinking of kind of toward God. The truly just relates toward people.
Joseph was betrothed to Mary. Now, we might say, well, that's in our day and time, we might equate that to engagement, but it's actually stronger than that. It's really under the Jewish way of life, you were considered married. You just hadn't consummated the marriage yet. Okay, And it says he thought to put her away quietly. Well, what could have he done? He could have made a big spectacle of it. Right here, Ted.
That's kind of what I think is interesting about it. He's called just because he didn't do something that he really had the right to do.
Yeah.
He could have, in his own right, made a spectacle of it. Even if he didn't mean to, you know, he could have made that public. But that wasn't his intention. So
yeah.
I wonder if in the context of the Bible, being just doesn't necessarily mean sticking strictly to the laws of God, but being especially fair and gracious towards other people.
I think that's a very good observation.
Well, okay. He was going to put her away.
Right.
Yes, but he said he.
19, but then the angel came to.
Right,
to
but he was going to do it in a
right.
quiet fashion.
Right.
He wasn't going to make a spectacle of it. I guess we might say.
But wasn't a penalty for something like that could have been.
Yes. Yes, you mentioned that. Yes, and that's correct. I looked back in Deuteronomy, and if that happened to someone you were betrothed to, that they were to be stoned. That most certainly would have been a public affair. Okay. And how he was going to do it, I don't know how he would have went about doing it quietly. Okay, but. As Mike said, his intentions or what he thought he would do was intervened by a vision that he had or a dream. So that all changed. But that's a good example of being just, and I thought Tad did a good job of kind of describing that. Okay. Anybody else have any you want to describe being just in another way?
Well, we think of, at least I do, when I think of being just, I think of the word justice. You know, the way we use justice, in other words, you know, fair, being fair, and I think that includes that, but I think just as it's used in the Bible is much more than just being fair and impartial.
Okay. When a judge has the option sometimes, Mike, doesn't he, to, you know, they'll say, well, for this particular violation, he can get from 1 to 10 years or whatever. In other words, there's a leeway. And the judge makes his judgment according to all the facts and everything and tries to be just. Okay. So I think maybe in those terms, upright in his dealings with all, giving everyone their due, showing mercy and love, following the example in each situation, following the example of the Lord. That was the definition that Duane gave on that. All right, somebody read Colossians 4:1 for us. This would be a good example for an elder as someone being just.
Master, speak your bondservants that which is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven.
Okay. All right, so in speaking, in Paul speaking to the Colossians about he mentioned several things. He talks about in that, if I remember right, he's talking about wives and husbands and et cetera and so on, and how you're to treat one another. And if you're a master and you're a Christian, you've accepted Christ, he says, give your bondservant what is just and fair. Well, do you think there were a lot of masters that were unjust? Yeah, I mean, we know. We've seen stories in history where people were treated worse than animals, that were slaves. But he says, as bondservants, what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Okay? So treat him with just and fairness, just like Christ treated us. So elders must deal with the flock in a just and fair manner. That's the bottom line, is that if you're an elder, you must deal with the flock in a just and fair manner. That's the bottom line. Let's look at the word holy. It comes from the Greek G3741 in the Greek dictionary. And holy means unpolluted with wickedness, devout, careful of all duties toward God. I'll say it again. Holy means unpolluted with wickedness, devout, careful of all duties toward God. For example, a person who readily accepts the obligation as a child of God, or in the case of an elder, the obligation as a loyal under-shepherd of the Lord's church. And there's lots of examples in the Scripture about holy people of God in the Bible. Who do you think is the best example that we could pick? Who's the most holy example that we have in the Scripture?
Christ.
That's right. Our great shepherd, Jesus. He's the one that sets the highest standard. He says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." Hebrews 7:26, "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens." Speaking about Jesus. So Dwayne makes a note here. Notice the four characteristics of Jesus. Harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, holy. This is exactly the way an elder should be. Now, can we attain to that point that Christ was? And the answer is no. But as we've mentioned before, when you look out among you and you pick someone to be your leader, you're trying to get someone that is not a novice, but someone that has been through I'm not going to tell you how many years of his life, but someone that's not a novice that has been able to attain to some of these things. Harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Now, he says, notice the four characteristics of Jesus, which elders should have in a flesh-limited degree. Holy, harmless, blameless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And as Mike mentioned already, you're not going to find anybody that's perfect. And I suppose there's plenty of congregations that have tried to pick elders in their congregation, and we might say, well, they were pretty picky because they saw that this particular man or that particular man had committed this sin or that sin. Well, we're all going to sin. Okay? And the question is that a part of your life that you continually do, or is that something that you did in the past and it's over with and you have mastered that? That's the question. All right, now let's look at this last word. Does anybody have any other thing you want to say? But Ted?
I was just going to mention, I know we've kind of talked about this some already, but the idea of being holy, I think, is another really good example of where we have to assume there's some difference between the expectations for an elder and the expectations for, you know, just any Christian. Because pretty much everything in these lists is something that God says is relevant to all Christians. And so, do you think this is another example of that, where, of course, all Christians need to be holy?
Yeah.
But elders, there's even a higher expectation? I mean, that's what I would think.
Right. I think you're absolutely right. I think there's always a higher expectation.
There's some things in these qualifications that are in degrees. In other words, one person could be more holy than another person.
Right.
But if I'm married to one wife and I'm not an elder, and you're married to one wife and you're not an elder, there's no degrees in that. You either qualify or you do not in that regard. I'm not an elder, one wife,
husband of one wife.
There's no question.
Right.
But, you know, when these moral qualification you're talking about, you know, God said, be holy as I am holy. That wasn't the elders. That was to all.
That's everybody, wasn't it?
So, it is a higher expectation. And
it doesn't mean you are going to be holier. I mean, we could have members that could be just as holy as your elders, maybe even more so.
Like a lot of these things, another word for holy, you've got consecrate, you've got sanctify, all these relate to holiness. When we become a Christian, we are sanctified. But at the same time, sanctification is more than just a one-time event. It's also a continuing process of development and of maturing. And that all goes with the idea of holiness as well.
Okay.
As Christians, as we continue to mature in the Lord, in the Spirit, we continue to become more holy.
Right.
I hesitate to say more sanctified, but it's a maturing process.
Right.
It's kind of how the holiness...
And in this definition that Dwayne gives here, he uses the word undefiled. That's kind of what you're saying, so to speak. Okay. This last one, really, I'm not going to talk on it too much because really it's very similar to what Eric talked about in lesson number 4. But hospitable, however, what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. That comes from G1468. And the King James, the old King James, uses the word temperate. And isn't that the word you spoke on, Eric, about being temperate? Temperate, talking about in moderation, self-restraint. In this definition, I looked it up. It said strong or masterful in a thing. Strong or masterful in what? What kinds of things should an elder show self-control? Show mastery or be strong in? Well, let's just kind of think about some things. How do you think an elder should speak? If you worked alongside the elder out in the world with whatever job he's got, if he's got a job, do you think his speech would be any different out there than it is here with the church members? His speech should be the same. We shouldn't, when he gets alongside his buddies at work, he shouldn't be talking just like the rest of the world talks. And for us that have worked out in the world, we know that a lot of people talk pretty filthy, use bad language. So we should have self-control over how we speak. Okay? What about our appetites? Okay? The things that you like to read, the things that you like to watch, the type of entertainment you like to be a part of. How much entertainment do you like to be a part of? You know, is it something that consumes more time than your study of the Bible? Or you get the picture I'm saying? In other words, you got to control your appetites. Okay, what about a strong mastery over anger? And we know Jesus was angry, okay, but he had a mastery over it. I think we could say that. Okay. But some people have a difficulty controlling their anger, don't they? They haven't mastered it. Okay. What about the personal information that you receive from people that you may have have contact with that give personal information? Shouldn't you have mastery over that? Isn't it a strong desire for people to want to gossip? You get a little bit of new information and you want to talk about that? Okay. An elder has to have mastery over that. Anybody else want to add to the list? I think you get the point. And all of these things that we've been talking about, these moral qualifications. A lot of them are very, very close, very, very close together. So I'm sure you're probably thinking, well, we're kind of beating this thing to death. And in a way, I guess we are. But there are some subtle differences. Next week, Brother Tad will be looking at what Duane classified as intellectual qualifications of elders. The scripture talks about not being a novice, able to teach. Okay. And Tad, I don't know if you heard me or not. If you don't need two sessions to do that, you're welcome to do it in one. I mean, that's up to you. I know that the handout that we gave you, it said two sessions. And I got thinking about this. As much as we've talked about a lot of this, you guys may not need two sessions. And that'll be up to you. Or you may...
I'm planning on just one.
Okay. You're planning on just one. All right. All right. And that's perfectly fine. And that, because of that, the dates that I have down on the new sessions that will start after this series will change. So just keep that in mind. We'll just update that as we get a chance. Anybody?